Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At a Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, things are feeling a little different in Kansas City, and I feel like nationally, now that the Chiefs are leveled up and the offense looks like a fully functional offense again.
Funny how that works, isn't it? although I do, I mean, listen, it's the nature of the business, which makes it fun, but I do laugh at times about the week-to-week nature of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a week ago, everybody's talking about how the Panthers beat the Falcons 30-0, and then the Panthers go to New England, and they lose 42-6. So, you know, as you guys know, there's so much that goes into each week's game plan, and different teams match up better or worse with other teams that – you know, you can't do the transitive property in the NFL, and you can't take any one result, I would say, and extrapolate that to mean that the Chiefs are back or any team's great or bad or whatever. But when you start to stack them up, you know, in a row, then you have a better sense of what a team is. And clearly, the Chiefs move the ball better, look better, all those things when they have Xavier Worthy, which is huge. And then, as I've been saying on other national outlets, when they ask me, I think that they'll look even better when they get Rashee Rice. You know, I mean, whatever the impact is of Worthy, I think with Rashee Rice, it's almost like a compound effect, because then you have two guys that the other team really, really needs to worry about.
When you look at their offense, do you think by the end of the year, if you had to go ahead and predict, do you think by the end of the year, everyone will unilaterally agree this is a top 3 to 5 offense in the NFL?
Chiefs this year?
Yep.
No. I mean, they might, but I'm not going to sit here and just put that out there and say we'll all agree based on one performance that they'll be a top
sure.
3 to 5 offense. I think there's a pretty decent chance of it. I mean, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame coach, so I would say that that is a pretty good start for any team to be considered top 3, top 5. And because of some of the young guys playing on the offensive line, the left side, maybe it takes them a few weeks with Rice and Worthy. I mean, they have a really good chance is the answer, Cody.
When you look at what they're doing in the running back spot, how would you handle that if you were them? They gave Rashard Smith more touches. We think Isaiah Pacheco lacks vision at the very least out of there, and Kareem Hunt doesn't seem to have a ton of juice. Would you trade for a running back, just play the rookie more? How would you handle it for a veteran team?
I don't think I would trade for one. I think Rashard Smith has some juice and has shown some promise. And I don't know who you're going to get in there that you feel is definitely going to be better than what you have with Hunt and Pacheco. You know, Pacheco's still kind of working his way back a little bit. I think it's too early to pull that trigger, which is also one of the benefits of the trade deadline, you know, being later than it used to be.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. I know you mentioned it's a week-to-week league, and I'm 100% in agreement there. That's what makes it fun. But at the same time, the AFC, the way it's shaping up, it sure looks like, are we Chiefs and Bills and everybody else again? Like, now with the Ravens issues, with Lamar being hurt?
You know, probably. I guess I would tell you, I still actually think the Indianapolis Colts are pretty darn good. you know, if A.D. Mitchell doesn't drop those two ball, you know, drop the ball and get the holding penalty on the Taylor touchdown, they're 4-0 with a win at the L.A. Rams on their resume. So let's put it this way. I think the Colts are going to win that division and have a great chance to get to the divisional round and show what they can do. I think at this point it would be an upset if it's not the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. But let's see what the Ravens look like when Lamar gets back to health. You know, obviously they've had a rough go of it, but I still think they're the class of that division and have a pretty good chance to ultimately win that division. And then maybe they can have a run in the playoffs that they haven't really had under Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh for whatever reason.
Do you think it's fair, though? I mean, at this point with Lamar, we all know he's won multiple MVPs. He's on a Hall of Fame path. Nobody disputes that or shouldn't dispute that. But his career now is all judged because of what he's accomplished in the regular season. It's all, what are you going to do in the playoffs for me? And that's all any of us really are waiting and looking for him to do and have success.
Well, the ironic thing about that, Alex, is that's the exact same thing with Josh Allen, maybe to a lesser extent, because it feels like, for whatever reason, that Josh Allen's won more playoff games. You know, he's been to more AFC Championship games than Lamar. But the Bills and the Ravens, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I mean, they're basically all in the same spot. And when I go on in those markets, all they want to know is this the year that we can beat the Chiefs? Is this the year, Ross? Is this the year that we're going to get it done, that we're going to beat the Chiefs? And I always have the exact same answer, which is I have no idea. But it's kind of hard to believe it happened until, right? I mean, especially if the Chiefs continue to improve and when they get Rice back, that's going to make it even harder for these other teams.
On the Chargers end, I really think, and so like going into the game, I liked the Giants to have a chance to beat the Chargers because of their offensive line issues. They then lost Joe Alt. I feel like, Ross, we are way underselling that for the next month, that's going to make their life hell. Like, it's going to be very hard for Justin Herbert, and this team's going to have to scrape in some wins with their current offensive line situation. They might be on the backup or third string guy at all five spots.
Well, yeah, and it's unbelievable. Certain teams, like, what is the deal with California? Because it feels like the Niners and the Chargers, and maybe to a little bit of a lesser extent the Rams, just get so many injuries every year. I mean, this is the Chargers season every year. This is the, you know, the Niners every year. It's really uncanny at this point.
Your podcast, one of your podcasts, Ross, you do the Even Money podcast. Your co-host there, Steve Fezzik, was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles finding ways to win. But I believe he called them phonies, or at least the wins phony at this point in time. What do you make of that? And have you seen enough from Philadelphia? I think I have, even if the offense got off to a slow start, to still say they're you know, the best, the class of the NFC.
Well, so first of all, you have to understand, anytime, you know, you're dealing with someone that's coming from the sports betting side, and that's the Even Money Betting podcast, they come from it typically from a number standpoint. Mm-hmm. And, the Eagles have less total yards than their opponents this season, yet they're 4-0, and they've had back-to-back games where they would not have won if it was not for a blocked kick return for a touchdown. I guess I would say, though, if you really look at the NFL, I mean, couldn't you call a lot of wins phony? You know, like every week, you know, the Rams win over the Colts was phony because A.D. Mitchell dropped the ball going in the end zone. Like, you know, I don't know. There's a certain percentage of wins, guys, that I think you would say are phony every week, in the sense that I saw where Drew Brees said if CeeDee Lamb catches the ball, or if, you know, they don't get the field goal blocked, the Eagles are 2-2. I mean, that's the NFL.
Right.
If ifs and buts, and you guys know the rest of that expression, I mean, that's how it works. So I look at it maybe the other way with the Eagles. I mean, they just beat the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Bucks, three teams that are legit, like, could get to the Super Bowl. They beat all three of them without really playing their best. That's what I always feel like is a really, really good sign in the NFL if that happens. If you're able to win games, especially against good teams, when you're not playing your best or, you know, arguably only, you know, playing your best for a half and they're still winning these games. I think that probably tells you the Eagles are pretty darn good.
When you look at just the Chiefs matchup this weekend, I am curious from a former player's perspective, what did you make about two coaches threatening each other over possible sign stealing there in Jacksonville? Just for starters, Ross, I don't think I'd ever try to pick a fight with Saleh. Looks like he'd kick almost everyone's ass in the league. I certainly wouldn't if I were another coach. But outside of that, do you actually think the Jags have some intricate sign-stealing thing that the team should care about?
Well, definitely, definitely don't mess with Robert Saleh if you're Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
I mean, unless Liam Cohen has some black belt that I'm not aware of, you know, or, you know, has some ultimate fighting skills, I'm very confident he doesn't want that from Saleh.
Yeah.
I agree. He doesn't want the smoke on that, I don't think.
No, definitely not. But whatever. I mean, he took offense to it. That's fine if that gave him extra motivation or whatever. But that was one of those, like, hold me back. I want a piece of him. Hold me back. While he's already behind three of his linemen. You know what I mean? Like, he could have gone right up to him and said something to him. He did the walk away, be behind his lineman and say that. Give me a break.
I'm just surprised. Like, it became, it's funny. It's like, it's not nearly as big of a story if you just don't say, keep my name out of your mouth. Then it's just like the one clip where he's like, yeah, we think they got something going on. We'll try to be careful with it. He made it a bigger story by saying something on the field after. Something I don't think he would have said had he lost the game, Ross.
That's exactly correct. And also, situations like that, it's like methinks he does protest too much. You know, like, if it's no big deal, then why are you getting all upset about it? When you get all upset about it, then you're making it seem like it is a big deal, that you are worried about it.
Lastly, Ross, before we let you go, last week it was Jackson Dart making his debut. Of course, got the win against the Chargers. We find out this morning that Dylan Gabriel is going to make a start internationally there for the Browns against the Vikings. What do you make of that decision to also have Flacco still be the backup?
Well, I think that says a lot about Shedeur Sanders and how they feel about Shedeur Sanders right now, pretty clearly, right? I mean, if they felt better about Shedeur Sanders, you would think that they would want him to be out there if something happens to Gabriel. You know, like, if they're moving on from Flacco to Gabriel, you would think that the next thing is they would want to be able to see what Shedeur Sanders has if
right.
Gabriel falters or gets
sure.
hurt. But they don't even want him out there yet, which I think says something about something.
I mean, it's obvious, like, his reputation in the league is really weird. And, of course, there was the story that said he didn't want to go play behind Lamar Jackson. It's like he could be starting this weekend for a talented Baltimore team, right? I mean, it seems like he would still prefer to be given an opportunity, but he's not even given a chance in Cleveland, and they have nobody.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can talk about it as much as we want, but I think, you know, what's going on there is that the Browns don't want to put him out there. They don't trust him. They don't think it would go well. And it's probably in his best interest. You know, it probably would go very, very poorly.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. And we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.